with SDPB News. I'm Crystal Mija. The Sioux Falls Police Department charges two in connection to an August homicide. 29-year-old Joshua Allen Jr. was killed in an altercation that took place in Dunham Park and injured four others. SFPD has arrested 32-year-old Walter Deshaun Stewart and 28-year-old Lamont Burks Jr. in connection to the altercation. Both are charged with one count of first-degree murder, one count of attempted murder, and two counts of aggravated assault. Officials say they're currently unable to speak to the relationships between the suspects and victims or motivations. A Sisseton woman is acquitted of theft from an Indian tribal organization. 36-year-old Deanna Kirk was accused of embezzling money that belonged to the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate Fueling Corporation. That's an Indian tribal organization. The U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI conducted the investigation that concluded Kirk had not embezzled the money. A Sioux Falls man is sentenced for illegally possessing a firearm. 21-year-old Ocean Stevenson is sentenced to 1 year in a federal prison for the charge. Stevenson was illegally selling firearms in 2023. A Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives agent went undercover to investigate Stevenson and his sale of firearms. The agent communicated with Stevenson and arranged a location in Sioux Falls to buy a .40 caliber handgun. Stevenson was arrested at the site for the illegal possession of firearms due to a 2023 felony conviction in Pennington County. A carbon pipeline company is resubmitting its permit application to the state's utility regulator. The move comes after voters overwhelmingly rejected a legislative proposal to help streamline permitting such projects. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
Summit Carbon Solutions' pipeline project was rejected last year for failing to follow county ordinances where it wanted to pass through. Company officials say its planned major reroutes in Spink, Brown, McPherson, and Lincoln counties, along with several micro adjustments. Lee Blank is CEO of Summit Carbon Solutions. He says the company adjusted the proposed route onto property owned by more willing landowners.
Trying to find a route that can best accommodate all the stakeholders on our line. So it's taken us a bit as we work really hard and very granularly to find an accommodating route. We've always intended on reapplying, and it just took us over a year to get there.
The 2,500-mile pipeline proposal crosses five Midwestern states, including 700 miles in South Dakota. It will transport carbon dioxide from 57 ethanol plants, including 14 in South Dakota, to North Dakota for underground storage. It's a possible way of reducing emissions that lead to climate change and can help win federal tax credits. Voters recently rejected a law that would have shifted the burden from companies to counties to prove their carbon pipeline ordinances are reasonable. Chase Jensen is an organizer with Dakota Rural Action, which is opposed to the carbon pipeline project. He says the group will continue to fight with directly affected communities.
Just to ensure that no risk or liability is shifted onto the public for the sake of Summit's private profit. I think the outcome of RL21 shows that South Dakota trusts our local governments to regulate these projects. And so Summit's new route and application is going to be very telling whether they heard that message or whether they're just going to continue trying to ram it through the exact same place they had previously planned.
Wednesday morning, the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals will hear oral arguments related to Summit's pipeline and Iowa County zoning ordinances. I'm SDPB's Lee Strubinger.
Attorney General Marty Jackley is joining a coalition urging Congress to pass the Kids Online Safety Act. Proponents of the act say if passed, it would protect children from online harm. Jackley and 31 other attorneys general say the changes in the act, quote, will establish better safeguards for minors online. Jackley says such safeguards include providing parents with tools to identify harmful behaviors on the internet and helping prevent addiction by allowing users to disable algorithmic recommendations on platforms like Meta and TikTok. He says such algorithms lead to young users endlessly scrolling. Sioux Falls city officials say financially the city is in good shape, but they fear homeless individuals around the nation will begin to take advantage of Midwestern hospitality. SDPB's Evan Walton reports.
Sioux Falls Mayor Paul Tenhaken says the city has to walk a fine line when it comes to support services for the homeless.
We have to make sure that we're giving hand-ups and not handouts. It's Homelessness Awareness Month right now. I got an event at Bishop Dudley right after that. They're doing incredible work. So is St. Francis. So is the banquet, all those things. You need to keep supporting those people that are doing the work. because they're doing great things, but I don't want to become a city where people are driving up here from Kansas City to stay here because it's so much better here than Kansas City. And I don't think any of you want that either, right? And so to do that, we have to be fair, but compassionate as well.
Tenhaken spoke to the Downtown Sioux Falls Rotary Group. He says the city's approach to homelessness stems from local input. Sean Pritchett is the Director of Finance and Innovation and Technology. He says Sioux Falls has improved its bond rating.
10 years ago when we opened the event center, we were up in the 60% range at that time. And so we've just continued to reduce that. And we are only dedicating about 20 to 25% of our capital program to debt retirement. So overall, we've stayed very low from that perspective. But we do regularly bond probably every 4 to 5 years. And we're kind of hitting that mark. Our last one was the public safety training facility. Obviously, the aquatics and rec bond is the next one that's up. And on the positive side, Moody's just upgraded our debt to AA1 from AA2 from where we were for many, many, many years. So I think that just the market is telling us we're in a very good place.
Pritchett says the city has always operated with a healthy budget, and that's why it's attractive to individuals struggling in other cities and states. Tenhaken says there's an open invitation for people to move and work in Sioux Falls if they make money and create a community benefit. I'm SDPB's Evan Walton.
Long-awaited changes to the Rapid City Vision Fund are coming. After public concern was voiced in opposition, the mayor's plan will remain largely in place. SDPB's CJ Keen has more.
A percentage of Rapid City sales tax dollars go into a pot of money called the Vision Fund. It's a $91 million public capital improvement effort to fund items like community outreach, the arts, and infrastructure with an emphasis on community enhancement. In the next cycle, that includes over $6.5 million towards the debt of the Summit Arena. The Vision Fund was initially distributed via a citizen oversight committee. Much of the debate around the money centered on continued existence of such a committee, as opposed to the funding being managed by city council members. Despite the proposed changes, the Vision Fund will still finance similar community projects through content, programming, and advocacy. With the next five-year cycle in mind, these changes will be implemented in the coming days. Rapid City Attorney Joel Landine says additional change is still coming.
The mayor made an overall presentation of categories for funding and how much money to allocate to that. This resolution implements that piece of it. The process for soliciting and identifying projects for each of the areas will be through a separate resolution.
Critics of the change say the Citizen Committee offers more flexibility for how the funds can be used in the future. Mayor Jason Solomon says he does intend to continue the citizen-based committee. However, that wording is not specifically in the new ordinance.
What we did tonight was simply set the budget. We will have subsequent resolutions that will allocate the process and the way that will go, and we'll be able to have more conversations more specifically about each of those.
The final motion was approved on an 8-2 vote with noes coming from council members Bill Evans and Lance Lehman. I'm SDPB's CJ Keen in Rapid City.
The State GOED Board of Economic Development and the Economic Development Finance Authority approved projects totaling more than $28 million in capital investment. The projects include, among others, Raymond Freeman of Britain receives a $325,000 beginning farmer bond to purchase 160 acres of agricultural land in Brown County. And Canadian-based Smack Pet Food was granted a $101,000 South Dakota Jobs Program grant to establish operations in Aberdeen. GOED officials say the actions are expected to create around 245 full-time jobs across the state. South Dakota Mines names Brian Tandy as its new president. Tandy currently serves as the dean of the College of Engineering and Mines at the University of North Dakota. Officials with the Board of Regents, which governs the state's university, say Tandy perfectly aligns with the university's mission and values. In prior roles, he has helped expand programs, build industry partnerships, and promote student success. Tandy will assume his new role in January. 100 bison were transported to the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe from the Grand Canyon. SDPB's Jackson Dirks has more.
As the saying goes, one person's loss is another person's gain. When Grand Canyon National Park in Arizona had 100 more bison than could be maintained, the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe seized the opportunity. With the help of the Intertribal Buffalo Council, or ITBC, the animals were successfully transported hundreds of miles to the CRST reservation. Jamie Murray is the CEO of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe Buffalo Authority Corporation. He says the bison are going towards feeding children on the reservation.
A lot of these donated animals we put towards our farm-to-school program. We're bringing beef as well as bison into our reservation schools, and we've actually branched out to schools on other reservations in South Dakota last year. But since the animals are donated, you know, the ones that are what we call harvest ready, like we can butcher right away, we're able to process those and turn around and sell that meat to the schools for the cost of processing, basically.
Murray says last year the meat was able to sell as low as $3 per pound. Greg Holm is the wildlife program manager of the Science and Resource Management Division for the Grand Canyon National Park. He says these 100 have some genetic differences from typical bison.
You know, we're pretty transparent with the tribes that this herd of bison was brought to Arizona in the early 1900s. They were bred with cattle at one point to try and make a hardy stock animal, and it didn't work out. But as a result, our bison do have genetic markers for cattle. They aren't cattle. They don't look like them. They don't behave like them. They just have a marker in their genes that said at some point, you know, great-great-great-grandma was introduced to a cow.
Due to the markers, Murray says this particular set of bison won't be used to breed with the CRST's existing herd. Thomas Peters is the technical services assistant for the Intertribal Buffalo Council. He says it's special to see the animals return to the tribes on the Great Plains.
Yeah, especially the tribes on the Great Plains, they have a really close connection and tie with these animals. You know, they've been living out here with them for thousands and thousands of years. You know, in the 1800s, the population was completely decimated. There's a lot of tribes that, you know, they didn't have any bison around. They couldn't rely on them for, you know, to watch and see their social structures for some tribes to use that as a food source, as a means of shelter and all that stuff.
Holmes says this is part of the park's efforts to ease some past tensions.
The 100 is the most we've ever sent, and it's great that they could all go to one spot. We've given animals to the Cheyenne River Sioux in previous years, but not that many. And so we'll continue our relationship with ITBC. In the meantime, we're also trying to work with our local tribes to see if we can provide a similar service for them if they have any interest in bison at Grand Canyon. So just another thing, I think the park wasn't as inclusive when we started short-term reduction, and I think we're well aware that we need to do a better job of that now.
Peters from the ITBC says collaborations between the three parties like this one is helping to heal some scars.
Tribe being able to restore this connection and get these animals out there, there's going to be a push to have, you know, more access for them and get them more into a situation where they can move more freely than, you know, being in a pasture. It has the possibility of opening up avenues to restoring land that was stolen with the Dawes Act and any of that kind of stuff.
The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe's Jamie Murray says seeing the animals back feels right for both the tribes and the animals.
It's a neat dynamic, really, how quickly they adapt to their natural setting. We've had similar things with animals we've gotten from the east that we've brought back, and it's kind of amazing how they immediately, almost like they feel at home, you know. It's a pretty cool dynamic, and to get them into more of maybe their historical range, and it's pretty cool. I think you can really see it in the animals. It's kind of hard to explain, but they definitely feel at home, I think, when they get here.
Murray says the tribe will continue to look for more opportunities to bring bison back to the Great Plains. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
With SDPB News, I'm Crystal Mija. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on all our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.